Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 703.
Today we hear from Indiana Jim. Great podcaster, lots of fun guy. Jim says,
I loved your episode about Robert A. Heinlein, and I was fascinated by the different approaches between his juveniles and adult fiction. Is there a particular reading order you would recommend, or particular resources to becoming familiar with the best of his body of work, also including nonfiction, to learn more about the man?
Okay, so those of you who are not interested in Heinlein at all, go ahead and skip this one, because this is just going to be a reading list. All right, so here we go. As far as reading order, well, there's a few different ways people do it. People break it up and read his books basically in the order they were written. That's one way to do it. If you read them in that order, you get the early period Heinlein going up to about 1960. Then you get the middle period, which goes up to about Time Enough for Love. And then you get the final period, which would be I Will Fear No Evil, Number of the Beast, Friday, Job, and To Sail Beyond the Sunset. I think I got them all. And those are his late period and considered by most people his worst work, but by diehard fans, some of his best work. And there's some reasons for that. The first is that a great number of those were part of a large unfinished series. He basically had one more volume to write when he was dying, and he didn't get there. A large unfinished series called The World as Myth, which doesn't make a lot of sense if you don't have a deep background in mythology, but probably would have if he had finished the story. Oh, Cat Who Walks Through Walls is the other book in that section. It's also, there was a marked style shift at I Will Fear No Evil, where his books became less apparently story-driven and more apparently dialogue-driven. And his style shifted largely to a strange sort of Roman comedy of manners, and is a very unusual style for English language literature, and especially for American literature, and so it blows by a lot of American audiences. He developed it out of a lot of German and Greek and ancient Greek stories that he was reading a lot in the mid to late 60s. Anyway, that's a long discursion. That's the late period stuff. That's the stuff everyone freaks out about as being weird or incoherent or creepy or the ravings of a crazy old man, that kind of stuff. That's his really challenging stuff. It's deliberately provocative, and it's basically treating ancient mythological tropes as if they were fictional tropes, and that disturbs some people for some obvious reasons. So that's his late period stuff. Like I said, the middle period, Stranger in a Strange Land is the first book in the middle period, and Time Enough for Love is the last book in the middle period, and Moon is a Harsh Mistress is actually a later book instead of an earlier book. I always get the publishing order reversed in my head for some reason. I can't remember what year that was. I think it was 68 or 70, or which was really the first of the World as Myth series. But those two books on either end are the transitional books. The early period is, the writing is very tight. It's heavily ironic. The characters are very sharp. The dialogue is very sharp. There's not a wasted word in there. This is when he was being paid by the word in a very competitive marketplace and under heavy content restriction. The second period is when the content restriction walls came down and he started dealing with heavier topics, more socially controversial topics, exploring ideas out to places they couldn't have been explored in the 50s, even when he wanted to. He actually fought a lot of censorship battles in the late 50s. And those are the middle period or his adult novels that he tends to get remembered for. Stranger in a Strange Land, Moon is a Harsh Mistress, Farnham's Freehold, which is the one that everybody hates. Anyway, There's some chronological reasons that they're three distinct periods, but the storytelling style does noticeably shift at each of the periods. Some of it had to do with personal illness, some of it had to do with zeitgeist. He was an unashamedly commercial writer, so when the public appetite for more controversial material came in, he was really happy to provide because he thought content restrictions were bullshit. In terms of broad general audience, most people, even people that don't like Heinlein, tend to like his first period. Most science fiction fans who don't hate Heinlein like his second period. His middle period is the period that was seriously influential on American literature in general. His early period is the stuff that was seriously influential on science fiction. And then generally, it's just the hardcore fans who like the later period. Though oddly, there is a whole section of Heinleinian fandom that likes just the later period, and they don't like his earlier stuff because it's too much like other writers. So they come into the later stuff, and then they're disappointed by the earlier stuff. So it may also depend on your personality and how you're introduced. Some books that I would start out with if you are interested in getting into Heinlein and really getting a flavor and sample of his work and some of the best of his work are Double Star, Door into Summer. These are some of his adult books. The early period is where all of the juvenile novels and almost all of the short fiction were written. Of the short fiction, some of the wonderful stuff is The Green Hills of Earth, The Unpleasant Profession of Jonathan Hogue, By His Bootstraps, All You Zombies, The Man Who Traveled in Elephants. Beautiful story. Oh gosh, there's just so many. His short fiction is a really good way to get into him. The Man Who Sold the Moon. If you want to get a really good flavor for his short fiction, the three collections I'd recommend. They're all very small. The Menace from Earth, The Green Hills of Earth, and The Unpleasant Profession of Jonathan Hogue, or Six by Heinlein, or The Fantasies of Robert Heinlein. They're all the same collection that have been released under different titles. Early period novels that are really good for getting a solid flavor of his work are Red Planet, Between Planets, Tunnel in the Sky, Citizen of the Galaxy, Have Spacesuit, Will Travel, Methuselah's Children, and The Door into Summer. And, if you're interested in a transitional novel, Starship Troopers. Though that's a strange book. It's not as much of a story as it, like, well, we talked about that the other day. Of the middle period, the really standout ones for Heinlein novice are Orphans of the Sky, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Both really good. The others of his middle period are a little more, a little dicier, hard to get into. Time Enough for Love is a personal favorite of mine. It's actually a really good one to get to know Heinlein through, because it's a framed novel that contains a number of novellas, which vary in tone and style and quality, that were written over the course of years and years. So you actually get a good sampling of Heinlein from the early period all the way to the end. Though the beginning of the book is rather patient, it requires a different lens than you'd read a contemporary novel through, because it does take a while to spool up. Of the later Heinlein novels, The Cat Who Walks Through Walls and Friday are easily the strongest, though it is very difficult to understand anything going on in The Cat Who Walks Through Walls if you have not read Time Enough for Love and The Number of the Beast. Those are some of the really good ones that you would want to start out with. Other individual short stories I've got to call out for special attention. Requiem. Oh, Requiem will break your heart. Wonderful. The Black Pits of Luna and Gentlemen Be Seated and The Long Watch, ranging from hilarious to absolutely heartbreaking, all of them just wonderful. And, of course, the stories in the collections I recommended also. So, those are some to start with. Weirdly, not all of my personal favorites are on this list, because I've got some weird tastes. But that's where... Oh, and, okay, so another collection that just jumped to mind was Revolt in 2100, which is the one of the earliest theocratic dystopia novels. So it's actually a collection of novellas. It's not his strongest work, but it is really interesting and thought-provoking the way he does it. It was one of the early ones that got me really interested in what he was about, because it sets apart Heinlein's voice from other science fiction of the era, and in fact, of any era, even though it's not his strongest work. Now, for learning about the man, there's a lot of resources, ranging from the honest to the dishonest, from the hypercritical to the fawning. He was a complex cat, and he's generated a lot of ink over the years. The Patterson Biographies is a two-volume biography that is, it's an uncritical biography. It's basically, it's not even an evaluative biography. It's more of a distillation of sources to get just a basic timeline through. A lot of people who read it found it disappointing because it was very light on commentary or analysis. It was mostly just a he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this. But because Heinlein lied so much about his life in order to protect his privacy, the Patterson biography is a really good corrective to a lot of the stuff that Heinlein put out about himself. So it's a good place to start. You do have to have some interest in the subject, though, or you can find it really dry, because it is pretty dry. To get an idea of Heinlein and the way he thought in his later years, you can read the Heinlein interview by J. Neil Schulman done in the mid-1970s. It's fairly political, because it was a political interview, but it's got its interesting points. A really good place to start, actually, would be Requiem, Tributes to a Grand Master by Yoji Kondo. It was a collection of short stories and previously unpublished Heinleinia and also essays by his friends that give you a real feel for his corpus and his impact on other people. Heinlein's nonfiction books, Grumbles from the Grave, Tramp Royale, Take Back Your Government, all very good for getting a flavor for his basic character and nature. And if you want his advice on writing, you have to read the essay in the Asimov collection on science fiction. I can't remember the name of the essay, but that's where Heinlein's rules come from. And you also have to read, and this is going to sound weird, his novel, The Number of the Beast, the published edition anyway, which is deliberately bad. Uniquely among all the grand masters of the time, Heinlein didn't write much about writing. Instead, what he did is he wrote a novel doing all the things that you're not supposed to do in a book, in such a way that if you pay attention to how he's doing what he's doing, you will understand both the rule and how to break it. So, on the surface level, the entire book reads like bad fan fiction, and yet the way it's told pulls almost everyone straight through the entire book, including people who hate it at every step of the way. And if you study those two levels, you get Heinlein's advice on writing. Also essential is This, I Believe, Our Noble Essential Decency, an essay that Heinlein wrote for Murrow's radio show and that you can find online. And also watch his commentary on the moon landing, which caused quite a scandal at the time when, in the midst of talking about the momentousness of the occasion, he started complaining that they sent male astronauts. And he has a very sophisticated technical argument for why female astronauts would be far better, which caused quite a sensation at the time. For a highly critical hit piece on him that was nonetheless very influential, you want to read Alexei Panshin's Heinlein in Dimension. Panshin was a jilted fan who had a real pronounced personal grudge against Heinlein, and so he wrote a series of essays casting him in the worst possible light. But you do see things through Panshin's eyes that illuminate the controversies around Heinlein fairly well, and that also give you an idea of what the world looked like to the people who grew up on him and then discovered that he wasn't the person they expected from reading his juvenile books. The Heinlein Archives at UC Santa Cruz gives you complete access to everything he ever wrote, including his personal correspondence. Wikipedia's article on Heinlein is actually very good and very comprehensive and will give you a lot of directions to read. And if you are a very enterprising fellow with very sharp ears, there are still a few people knocking around the convention circuit who knew him personally, and you can get their stories. And if you can get them, they're almost always worth it, because love him or hate him, they all have an interesting story about Heinlein. So keep your ears peeled, and you can get some interesting stuff that way. And also, you can find quite a few of those people in the archived discussions at the Heinlein Society forums online, which are also worth reading if you have a few days to waste and are interested in the subject. I could go on, but I've gone on for 20 minutes of reading lists for how to get into this particular author, who's one of about six authors who have been a subject of deep personal study of mine over the years. So you've just gotten a dump of about 25 years of diffuse and dispersed reading. I hope you enjoy, and of course, I'd be remiss without pointing out that the series that I did on writing Hadrian's Flight on the Heinlein Juvenal is based on original research that I did, and you can find my Heinlein Juvenal formula as a Patreon reward, and also on and also in the Gumroad archives, and I think I've got it up to Subscribestar. If not, I need to finish getting Subscribestar online. It's been a really crazy year. But you can find my Heinlein Juvenal formula breakdown in table form there, and you can also get a deep dive exploration of it in the series I did called The Heinlein Juvenal Writing Hadrian's Flight, which was done in 2016, I believe. August of 2016 is when we did that. So it would have been the fall of 2016 when that series showed up on this podcast. Thank you for writing in. It's always good to hear from you, Jim. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.